Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, the posthumous memoir of Virginia Giuffre, who's accused Britain's Prince Andrew of sexual exploitation, is due to be published tomorrow. The book makes further allegations about her interactions with Prince Andrew, whom she met while in the orbit of the deceased sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, and pressure is now mounting on the Windsor family to strip Andrew of the title of Prince, which he retains despite losing many other royal privileges. He denies all of the allegations against him. Professor Kate Williams is a royal historian and is on the line now. Thank you very much, Kate, for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
And this is moving into the political, and we'll get there in a moment. But I want to talk to you about this book, Nobody's Girl, a memoir of surviving abuse and fighting for justice. It's out tomorrow. It's been serialised extensively. And the BBC has managed to get hold of a copy, which they found for sale in a bookshop, which tells its own tale. But how much pressure do you think the royal family is under today as they brace for its official release tomorrow?
Yes, Claire, I think they're under a lot of pressure. I think there has been a long-running discussion with Andrew about stepping back from the title of Duke of York, but he was very resistant. And simply the fact that Virginia Giuffre's memoir is coming out tomorrow, Nobody's Girl, as you said, is coming out tomorrow, it is really clear. It's got a lot of detail in there, and it is going to be very, very damaging to Andrew. So what we saw on Friday, that royal announcement going out on Friday evening, was damage control, because the royal family, all the heat is on them because of what Andrew has done. And I think that we have to think about Virginia Giuffre is no longer with us. This is a posthumous memoir. She has suffered greatly, as that memoir makes very clear. We must think of the voices of the victims here and what they've all been through. And I think that the royal family are thinking not just of the fact of what's going to be in this memoir, but also of its publication emboldening other people to come forward, further witnesses or other women who have been in Epstein's circuit. And certainly there was, in one newspaper article at the weekend, another woman who said that Epstein had sent her to have dinner with Prince Andrew. She won't say any more through her lawyers, but I don't think we're going to say that there are other women who didn't encounter Andrew during the time he was so very friendly with Epstein, which seems to be rather a large amount of time. So the royal family are engaging in damage limitation, but I think the question we're all asking is, stepping back from Duke of York, is that enough?
What other steps could be taken?
Well, obviously, Andrew has lost. He's no longer working royal after the interview with Emily Maitlis, in which he, you know, gave away so much about what he really had engaged in with Epstein. And then in 2022, he gave up his royal appointments after the military essentially campaigned and said, we don't want him anymore. Now he's given up being a member of the Order of the Garter, the highest order of chivalry. He's no longer a Knight Grand Cross. He's no longer using Duke of York. He does still retain Prince, as you were saying in the introduction. And Virginia's family have said he should be stripped of the title of Prince. But I think that's going to be very difficult. He can't actually be stripped of the title of Duke of York unless they go through an act of Parliament. And I think the Parliament don't really want to get involved. They have obviously other things to be doing in the country as it is. But certainly it will be very damaging to the royal family if that stripping him of Prince or stripping him of Duke of York goes through the Parliament, because simply, I would say, this is my opinion, all the MPs are going to vote it through. And during the discussion about Andrew, which they would have in Parliament, all kinds of things could be said. And let's also remember that MPs have parliamentary privilege. They can speak out without fear of being sued in the way that other people in the world, say the media, can't say. Mm-hmm. So they could say many things. So simply the fact is that the royal family don't want that. So they've had to encourage Andrew to step back from Duke of York, but he will never, I would say, step back from the title of Prince. He sees himself as the Queen's son. He is the Queen's son. He will never, ever step back. What they might be able to do, and I think what they've been trying to do, is get him out of his gigantic mansion in Windsor. Gigantic royal lodge. It's a huge mansion. I think people might say, how do you still get to live on the Crown estate? Which is essentially, you know, Crown money is partly our money. How do you get to live in that? If Harry and Meghan had to give up Frogmore Cottage when they stepped back from being working royals and had to pay back all the money for renovations, why do you get to keep this gigantic royal lodge, one of the biggest properties in Windsor, apart from Windsor Castle?
Yeah, this is the 30-room lodge, and Andrew and Sarah Ferguson, his ex-wife, had planned a big party there, I read at the weekend, which was cancelled at the last minute when these revelations started to emerge and when, I assume, the king and his son decided that they would force him to step back and relinquish those roles. That's when the cancellation happened. But just looking again, and you mentioned Emily Maitlis's interview with him, with Prince Andrew. From that point and right the way through to this, it does seem that Andrew doesn't accept that he did anything wrong here. Would you agree?
Oh, you're totally right, Claire. He doesn't think he did anything wrong. And we all remember that 2019 interview with Emily Maitlis in which he said he couldn't have been there because of Pizza Express. And he said that he hadn't met Epstein. He'd gone to say goodbye to Epstein and never met him again. We've now, of course, realised that that wasn't the case. After the sex allegations came out against Epstein, Andrew sent him an email saying, "We're all in this together," and "Hope to play again soon," published by the Mail on Sunday. And so, you know, Andrew has never thought he did anything wrong. Apparently, he thought he acquitted himself marvellously in that interview with Emily Maitlis. He doesn't think he did anything wrong. And there was very interesting footage, wasn't there, after the sad occasion of the Duchess of Kent's funeral, just recently. William was waiting outside just after the funeral, and Andrew comes up to William, and we obviously don't know what he said because we couldn't hear them, but he was clearly trying to laugh and joke with William and get very friendly with him. And William's face really was a picture. He was obviously quite shocked and surprised by this, because Andrew simply, I think he thinks he doesn't do anything wrong. He believes he's this marvellous prince. And I think just what you were saying there, Claire, about the party, that's absolutely emblematic. Everyone knows that Nobody's Girl is coming out on Tuesday. It's no secret. You can look on any book-selling website. I mean, we know that. He knew that. His lawyers knew that. And yet he's planning this gigantic party the weekend before. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really does suggest someone who is, I mean, Virginia Giuffre calls him entitled. That's the title of another book about him by Andrew Lowney. I mean, he is entitled. Everyone who's ever met him has said he's arrogant, and he totally believes that he's done nothing wrong. He deserves all the accolades, and most of all, that he deserves to carry on living in this gigantic 30-room royal lodge, which I think is going to be increasingly a sticking point. And when William comes to the throne, I think it's been pretty very clear that he's going to be much tougher on Andrew than the king has been.
And what have we been learning about Sarah Ferguson's relationship with Jeffrey Epstein? I mean, we heard some months ago about that email that she sent to him where she said, "Oh, disregard the public comments I've made disowning you. I'll always be your friend." But she seemed to have some sort of financial reliance on Epstein.
Well, according to various newspaper reports, she borrowed much more than what we had thought, that she was borrowing money from him, and that was why they had this link that she was borrowing money from him. I mean, it's curious, isn't it? Who's borrowing money from him? Is it Albert? Is it Andrew, or is it Sarah? I mean, who is it for both of them? Who is borrowing all this money? But clearly, she had close links with Epstein throughout the period, but I think we have to say that Sarah Ferguson, although she was borrowing money from Epstein, she was not engaging, it seems, you know, she's not accused in any way, whereas others are, of engaging in the trafficking of these suffering young girls. That's mm-hmm. not something she is engaged in. She borrowed money from him, but nothing more. I think we also have to think about the suffering of these victims, which I think when Virginia's memoir comes out tomorrow, as you say, many parts of it have been serialised or put on social media because people have found copies of it. However, I think we are going to be really quite disturbed by what she has been through and how, as she says in her memoir, everyone knew. They don't be fooled that people in Epstein's circle said they didn't know and they just met him because he was a banker who had access to interesting people. Everyone knew. And that's just not just Andrew, but, you know, all the people in his circle, which is a large amount of powerful people. So we are waiting to see whether the Epstein files get released. And I think if and when they do, they are going to bring down a lot of rain on many people's heads, but particularly Andrew.
And Andrew's facing another problem because of this allegation that he tried to use his police protection to get in personal information about Virginia Giuffre. I mean, that is more than an embarrassment for the royals. I mean, you could be heading into criminal territory with that.
That is heading into criminal territory. You are totally correct. The fact that after the photo came out, the newspapers have exposed that Andrew then asked his police protection officer, this crack metropolitan police detective squad that are in charge of the royal family, he said, "Could you go and dig up dirt on Virginia, and he gave the police officer Virginia's date of birth and social security number. How he had that social security number, of course, we don't know. And this, of course, is a crime. I mean, this is a crime. And this is also, I think, a total misuse of taxpayer funded, which is what they are, taxpayer funded protection for the royal family. They are there to protect them from, you know, assassination attempts or being seized or kidnapped. They're not there to dig up information on anyone, let alone this poor abused girl, which is really shocking. And trying to say that she had a criminal record so he could slur her memory. And her family said she doesn't have a criminal record, and they don't. But even if she did, what difference does that make? She was still a young woman who was abused. So that is terrible. That is criminal territory. And we, as you say, and we understand that the Metropolitan Police are investigating this.
Yeah, that's and so says the Times, Kate, this morning. They say that the Met is now and has confirmed that it's looking into those claims that he asked one of its officers to obtain personal information. And there seems to be an email now from 2011 that Andrew told the Queen's Deputy Press Secretary that he had requested this further information about Virginia Giuffre from the personal protection officer. And that then makes it more difficult, I would say, for the politicians, for the Labour government, to resist attempts to have this go to Parliament, this formal stripping of titles. I mean, if that request comes on the back of a Met investigation, you would imagine that it will be almost impossible to resist that.
I think it would be impossible to resist it. I think the royal family don't want it to happen, because I think also people would say, well, you're king, you are in charge, you get your family in order. And obviously, I think the debate about Andrew in the Houses of Parliament would be, there would be no holding back. But certainly, if it came to it, I think Parliament would do it. We do have, of course, precedents for people losing the title of prince in the past, but that's really more when their parents' marriage was declared illegitimate. So, for example, Henry VIII, when he divorced Catherine of Aragon, when he got rid of Catherine of Aragon, he said that Mary, the future Mary I, was Lady Mary, not princess, because the marriage had been illegitimate. But we're not claiming that the marriage, we can't ever claim that the marriage was illegitimate at all. So it is possible, it is precedent. But I think that Andrew, yes, would have to be dragged kicking and screaming into that, frankly. And for it to become a part of a political matter, I think that what we will have is, It is better for Andrew, rather than being stripped of his titles, if he agrees, as he has, to step back voluntarily. It is better for him than if he is formally stripped of it, because that is the ultimate humiliation.
Yeah, and he might have to find a new place to live, it would seem, as well. Thank you very much, Kate Williams.
Yes.
Professor Kate
Thank
Williams,
you.
Who is a royal historian. Coming up next, Brian O'Connell goes in search of fairy forts.
Get in touch on WhatsApp, 0870 32 32 32.